used to laugh at me when I used to say, the hay is in the barn. Because all the work's been done.
Hay's in the barn?
Yeah, I think most of the work's been done. You know, they'll make calls and see if they could execute a trade maybe up or down or something like that. But they know the board's probably set. And all the player evaluations are done, the interviews.
I would think so. Yeah. If you're scrambling now to get your last report in on all three receivers, you're probably behind the eight ball.
And then the Bears are adding to that this week, a very busy week. And they will be announcing on Wednesday at Soldier Field their plans for that lakefront stadium. You know, this has been a long road here. We've known that they've wanted a dome stadium for a while now. We all thought it would happen in Arlington Heights, on the land that they actually purchased and still own.
I went from 100% certain they were going to build this thing in Arlington Heights to 100% certain it's going to be on the lakefront.
They paid money to demolish it,
yeah,
that racetrack, and then they just couldn't agree on what the tax rate would be when nothing was there. And then they said, look, if we can't agree on what the taxes are when there's nothing there, well, how are we going to agree on construction costs and everything else and be in business together? So then with the change in mayors after Lori Lightfoot left and she didn't take the Bears seriously, and then the change in president positions with the Bears, the city and the Bears changed the way they dealt with each other.
Let me ask you a question to speculate. Let's speculate for a second. It's what we do. Do you believe that the tax situation up in Arlington Heights is something that they could find common ground on, or that it's an issue that could be resolved? Or do you believe that this is Kevin Warren, who wasn't here when they bought the Arlington Heights property and has talked adamantly about being enamored with building a stadium on the lakefront, that he's using that example,
right,
and playing it very loudly as an excuse,
right,
evidence as to why
probably wanted it downtown to begin with.
Yes.
Right, right. And I told you it was the playbook that the Minnesota Vikings used. The Minnesota Vikings, when he was a part of building the stadium, had an agreement in the suburbs, and then they double backed and they built it in Minnesota. And what do you follow? You follow a plan that worked before. It worked for the Vikings when he was there. This is exactly what happened there. So maybe this is the excuse that he needed. If
right,
this was their only play, I'm sure it could work with Arlington Heights. But this was sort of the audible call that
right,
he needed to go back downtown. And then the change in mayors, like, this is what I was getting at. Like, I think it was the perfect storm of just everything worked out. If this was still Ted Phillips as president of the Bears, I think it would have worked out in Arlington Heights. I think if Lori Lightfoot was still the mayor in Chicago, I don't think they'd be going back to Chicago. But I think with the new mayor in Chicago, the new president with the Bears, they're probably getting a much better deal than they ever offered before when they approached Arlington Heights about thinking about buying the land. And then this was the excuse that they needed. Now they've got to still get the funding that they want. And they have a press conference on Wednesday to announce the plans of building this. And they're still calling it a publicly owned stadium.
Yeah.
And this will be unveiled on Wednesday.
The reason I mention that is because as you step away from the arena and you look at this thing and try to be as objective as possible, I don't think that, and again, I'm from more than an arm's length distance away, it doesn't sound like the tax issue is something that couldn't have found common ground for. That there, if there was a will, there would be a way up in Arlington Heights.
I think the mayor of Arlington Heights believes that too.
Yes, and this is why I don't believe it's a negotiating ploy. As some believe it's still a negotiating ploy, I think it's Kevin Warren using that tax issue as the signature reason as to why they should be building downtown. Because think about it. I mean, it goes without saying that a project here on the lakefront is going to be significantly more difficult with more hurdles and probably more costly, isn't it, than building out in Arlington Heights. I'm just speculating there, but I have to believe that getting your Bear-itized building and the setup in Arlington Heights, just from infrastructure, everything else, it feels like it would be an easier project versus this one downtown.
It's way above my pay grade, but I mean,
me too,
but there's less they probably have to worry about in the city because it the city is going to take care of a lot of stuff. Like, they own that entire 320 some acres in Arlington Heights.
I drove by that recently too, and with the racetrack knockdown, it is an enormous piece of land.
So they would be landlord to everything that they would have there, correct?
Yeah. I just...
And they may not want to be in that. They may just want a stadium, and they want, you know, more of an ownership than they had before on it.
Right.
You know, and may not want to totally own it. Like you said, you would be shocked that the majority of owners don't own their own stadium. Right. Like, Dallas doesn't own their own stadium.
I think five. No, Jerry Jones pays like $2 million a year rent for AT&T. I guess the point I'm making is that they referenced the tax issue with Arlington Heights. That seems to be a pretty easy hurdle to clear if, in fact, it was something that you were still interested in.
Yeah, Kevin Warren was probably looking for a reason to break up with Arlington Heights anyway.
Yeah.
And he got it.
Yes.
You know?
And that's what they're going to continue to mention as a reason why not Arlington Heights. But I think they've focused more on the reason why
he wants Chicago.
Yes.
Even though the parking won't be good, even though the traffic won't be good.
No.
Like, you're never going to fix that.
Accessibility is not going to get any.
And I don't think they care. And we'll hear what he says. It'll be interesting. Tomorrow, I say we open, like, we start making some wagers between the four of us. How many seats you think this is going to be when they start building on this, when they put the shovels in the ground, when we believe the first shovel goes in the ground. Like, what are some of the other things? We know that it's not going to be a retractable roof. It's going to be they call this now, a fixed dome?
Yeah.
Or a fixed roof. They don't even call it a dome because it's a flat roof. What are the other things? Is this going to be grass or is this going to be turf?
Because He's got to be grass.
So how do you do that, though, in Chicago?
Well, you take the grass and you slide it out underneath the underground roadways. I'm joking. It's not easy to do. None of this is easy to do.
Especially when you don't live in a warm climate.
Right. I don't know. I have no idea how they're going to do all of this.
What will the pitch be in regards to parking? Will they, like, ignore it completely?
No, they're going to say, I'm telling you, they're going to say there's going to be not less parking and there could be more parking, but it's not going to be more tailgating.
Right.
I've always told you that from the start. There's you're not going to lose spots to park, but it won't be more tailgating. So if you've wanted an increased tailgate, you're going to lose tailgating because some of this is going to be more underground parking.
Yes. And they will tell you this is just part of the project. It's unfortunate. You can't have everything, but the things you can have are so brilliant and great that supersedes any of the stuff that you can't have.
Because they're going to probably build on the south lot. So there you go. That whole concrete lot is going to go. And where are you going to, so you're probably going to build more garages like you do in the North Garage. Currently at Soldier Field. You don't tailgate there. You can't have a grill there.
You can't imagine that the accessibility is going to be better. At the very least, what you're hoping is it maintains what it is now and doesn't get worse.
I think they hope to have better pedestrian access to the museum campus is what they're going to sell you on.
Okay.
That it's going to be, they're going to hopefully have a better community atmosphere for the museum campus and places to go and more direct routes for the walkers. Because it's like a maze. If you've ever walked in that direction, you have to go through like this whole sidewalk of mazes. You have to either go to 18th Street and over a bridge, or you have to go like before Roosevelt Road and then go underneath and then weave all the way under, then through the museum campus.
It's crazy.
There's no direct bridge, like just straight over Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
So these are a lot of the answers that we're going to get on Wednesday. So it's going to be an extremely huge and busy week of Bears football. It's a foundation building week with a quarterback in a new stadium.
Yeah.
Does it get any busier than that? And we ask this question, and then we'll get to Hockey's A-List. And we were surprised in how Robert Mays chose this. The Bears are officially introducing their downtown stadium plans on Wednesday and drafting Caleb Williams on Thursday. Which do you have more faith that the Bears will get right? It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota Let's Go Places. Caleb Williams or the Lakefront Stadium?
I voted for the quarterback, despite the fact that they have never found the solution for that position. I still voted for the quarterback.
And I think you said it right to Mays when you said they built a spaceship in the last go-around. They're telling you that they're not going to have more tailgate spots, and they bought land in Arlington Heights, and they never built there. So the track record recently there isn't good to build the stadium. We've had almost exactly 2,000 votes. Vote on my Twitter handle. 84.9% of the people say they have more faith in Caleb Williams on a resounding level. 84.9%, 15.1% going with a Lakefront Stadium. You can vote online, or you can weigh in at 312-332-3776.
I'm very interested to see the renderings. I really am on Wednesday. Because you know me. Like, you show me something that's pretty with lights. And
it's going to look great.
Ribbons and bows, and I get all giggly and say, yes, I'm in.
What are they going to make it in the shape of? Like, isn't the one in Minnesota the shape of a boat? A Viking boat?
Maybe a giant bear?
That would be awesome.
Giant, you know what it's going to be? A giant fedora, just like Papa Bear used
that's
to
good.
Wear. A giant fedora.
A stash, a Ditka mustache.
How about the widow's peak? It's the roof is going to be in the shape of Ditka's hair.
I like that,
how about
too.
Where the widow's peak.
It'll look like a big bottle of nail polish, and it'll light up different colors depending on what Caleb great. Williams is feeling that
That's
day.
That's awesome. The five lights for the five fingernails. On top of the stadium.
You know, it's not only going to be AstroTurf. It's going to be old school AstroTurf. They're going to bring in the turf from the old Soldier Field before they turn Soldier Field from AstroTurf to grass. They're going to bring in the old school.
Concrete. Old-fashioned concrete.
Yeah.
Painted green.
They're going to break some ankles and tear some ligaments. No, it's going to be grass. It can't not be grass, right? Don't be bringing me all this.
So what? They're going to have it out where? Where?
I have no idea.
They're going to grow it next. It's going to roll out.
They're going to have a giant lawn section with heat lamps and stuff.
Lawn
Kenny Marock's going to make it work. He's been up there making magic forever.
What's the what do they call Meg's Field these days? In Northerly Island. They're going to grow the grass on Northerly Island.
Of course they are.
In the springtime through
this?
Summer.
How about this?
And then they're going to wheel it in?
How about you put it on a barge and it goes out and it floats
like
in the lake?
Look, if we can't build a floating stadium.
You build a floating field.
We could have a couple.
Yes.
We could have a couple floating spare fields,
yes.
too.
And especially when the weather's okay, it's out there getting its sun and nutrients. A little vitamin D for new field.
I like that.
And then maybe when the weather gets bad, then maybe we slide in a little bit of the newfangled artificial turf. So half the year it's grass and the other half it's artificial turf.
I like that. We got some barges out there.
Yeah.
We're growing our grass. What's that?
Now listen.
Hey, honey, what's that? Oh, that Bears are growing their fields.
Yeah. And now listen, you can't be out there on a barge in December thinking you're going to wheel that field.
No, it's growing season, just like they do now.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. A lot of questions.
You're going to ship in the sod like you do in springtime anyway.
Listen.
And you're going to put it on a barge.
I'm going to tell you this right now. That field out there at Soldier Field is fabulous. They solved that issue a couple of years ago.
But it's outside now.
I got it.
Just when they finally solved it, now they're moving inside.
My point is they found a way to solve the surface issue. I have confidence in them.
All right, Tyler, you have Aki's A-list?
Yep.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Tyler, we had to set the table with the news of the day.
All right, Adam Schefter had a good article on ESPN.com today about his draft intel, what he's hearing,
news and notes and all that stuff leading into draft season, one thing that sort of caught my eye, and it's not something that we didn't know, we knew that the Bears only had four picks, but that is the fewest number of picks of any team in the NFL draft this upcoming season. Now, it is worth noting, Ryan Poles is a mover and a shaker in the draft. The last two drafts, he has drafted at least 10 players. How many picks will the Chicago Bears end up making in this year's NFL draft? They've got four picks right now, but that obviously could change.
Five.
I was going to say five as well, and it's not going to be trading number nine. It'll be something that they do, you know, what do they have, fourth? They don't have a second or a third, right?
They have
a fourth?
They have a fourth and a third.
I don't think they're going to... Oh, they do have a third.
Okay.
I think that they're subscribing also to the theory that seems to be pretty prominent that this draft is unlike recent drafts. Like, once you get past a certain number, it's not so good.
After the fourth is what they say.
So I don't know that they're going to be all that eager to be moving down into the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. I think this is a year, because next year they've got a full complement of picks. They've used two, basically, this year to trade for Montez Sweat and Keenan Allen. I'd be fine if I was them with four.
They were rebuilding, too. They needed more bodies before. Like, this year, they should be cutting some decent players.
Yeah.
So don't just draft just to draft players. You need, like, I'm a firm believer that you need better players.
Yes.
Make them count.
Not more players,
right.
Better players.
Yes.
So you can start restocking the shelves next year when you do have a full complement of picks. This year, get me some stars.
Adam Schefter also revealed in this article that there is a resolution expected soon for tampering charges for the Eagles and the Falcons. Now, the Falcons one is significant because there is a thought out there that they could lose their first round pick, which is important for the Bears because that would bump them up a spot to 8 instead of 9. How shocked would you be if the Atlanta Falcons end up losing their first round pick because of tampering allegations involving Kirk Cousins?
I would be super shocked. This year's first round pick?
Yeah, that's a stiff penalty to pay for doing something that every team in the National Football League does, just didn't get caught.
How often does that happen, Tyler, where a team is tampering and they lose that year's first round pick? Is it usually the following year that they would lose it?
So the Dolphins forfeited, it would have been their that year first round pick for making a run at Tom Brady.
They did lose it that year.
And then they also lost what is their this year's third round selection as well. And that was for Brady and Sean Payton. And then the Chiefs forfeited their 2016 third round pick and 2017 sixth round pick for tampering with Jeremy Maclin in 2015.
Jeremy Maclin,
wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know there are rules, but we basically, everyone that is even within an arm's distance, length distance from the league, we all joke about illegal tampering. Like, it's a joke. We all talk about it.
I think Atlanta, though, has gotten a little too cocky. Yeah, they have. Like, they look at us. We voted Bill Belichick off the island. We're telling everyone about it. He wasn't even our third choice. Look at us. We're going to beat the rules. Take it away.
Listen,
let the Bears move up.
I hope that they take the eighth pick of the draft away from them. I think that would be a ridiculously stiff penalty for this particular crime.
I'm okay with it.
If the Bears weren't picking nine, what would you say? What if the Bears were eight and they were the one being charged with this crime?
Look, I think you have to pay the piper. That's what I like to say.
Like what do you just...
It's words that I live by.
You're skating in circles. What do you mean?
It's the words that I live by in general.
You gotta pay the piper.
You
what
gotta pay the
mean?
Piper.
What does that mean?
Pay the piper.
Can you...
Go ahead, Ballard.
Can you imagine if we were in Atlanta...
Who's the piper?
Goodell. Goodell's the piper right now. Can you imagine if we were in Atlanta...
Isn't he the Bulls shooting coach, by the way?
Piper?
Peter Piper. No, but can you imagine if we were in Atlanta getting ready for the draft and then all of a sudden, like the day before, like, oh, by the way, we don't have a first round pick. It's gone.
After all the work that they've done on the number 8 pick.
And then we celebrate in Chicago. We're like, yes, one of the receivers are definitely going to be there now.
It's not going to be the 8th pick, right? I mean,
It's funny, too, because Ryan Pace is at the center of the allegations.
Yeah, that's another good point.
Ryan Pace wasn't even getting a vote in the Bill Belichick.
It could be the best thing Ryan Pace ever does for the Bears organization. Is losing the Falcons pick.
Lovie got them the number one pick last year, and Ryan Pace gets them a spot up this year.
Ryan Pace was definitely involved.
No, he was not.
If they voted not to hire Bill Belichick and they were bragging about it, Ryan Pace was definitely involved in this.
Ryan Pace is watching USFL film. That's what he's doing. Stop it.
It's not USFL anymore, is it?
Whatever it is.
All right. There is a name that has started
probably
to
watching
gain.
USFL film from years ago.
Here, Ryan, watch this. It's from, and it's the old USFL.
Look at this, Ryan. Tom Fair. Look at him move.
Yes.
There's a name that's gaining a lot of steam as of late, and it's Michael Penix Jr. In this article as well, Shefty notes that Penix could go as early as number 8 to the Falcons. Diana Rossini also tweeted out that anonymous GMs have said that Michael Penix Jr. is potentially the best-kept secret in the draft.
They just signed Kirk Cousins. Why would you draft the quarterback at 8?
What did I tell you? Atlanta's gotten too cocky. Take their pick away.
Anyway, I ask you this. Let's say Michael Penix is a hot name come Thursday. What is better for the Chicago Bears in terms of how they can maneuver with that 9th overall pick? A wide receiver being available or a significant bidding war at 9 for Michael Penix?
I want the wide receiver to be available. That's what I want. Is that what you were asking? Yeah. Like, I want them to draft a wide receiver.
Yeah,
difference maker.
Just like with Caleb Williams, if you get the guy that you love, I know draft capital is important, but if you come away with two guys who are going to be stars,
it warms my heart.
All the draft capital in the world isn't going to replace two stars.
No, I agree with that. And again, like, look, I guess the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one. Somebody said that. I don't know that makes 100% sense with me, but I don't know that you would know that that's what you would do.
I don't think, because you're winning now.
That's what Shefty's hearing?
It says some teams disagree. He's talking about Bo Nix, Michael Penix. There is now speculation Penix could go as high as number 8 to the Falcons.
By the way, Caleb Williams loves Penix. He sung his praises in that podcast. Loves him.
We still going to get a first-round pick for Justin if we trade him?
Why do you got to bring that up?
Never mind. No. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff out there being bantered about.
Was that a shot at Shefty?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I think you just took a shot at Shefty.
I think that was a Shefty shot.
I would not do that. Ew. I have too much respect for Shefty. I love Shefty.
I don't know. That was a shot. All right. So that's Aki's A-List. The good, the bad, the dirty is coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty. Our recap of the sports weekend or anything else we encountered. Brought to you by Avondale Roofing. Is your roof commercial or residential? Has it been taking a beating? Check out Avondale Roofing. Search AvondaleRoofing.com. You can read reviews. Sign up for a free estimate. Avondale, on top until you're satisfied.
Love that. Such a great tagline.
They do even better work than their tagline.
Sure they do.
All right, what's your good, Waddle?
My good is in the world of golf. Today's RBC Classic in Hilton Head was wrapped up because they had some rain and they had to delay it. Scottie Scheffler won again. It's his fourth win in his last 5 starts. He won $3.6 million with this win. He has now earned over $18 million so far this season on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler is doing things that we haven't seen done since Tiger Woods was doing said things. So it's been cool to watch. Scottie Scheffler's my good.
Unstoppable.
Unbelievable.
The bowl season ended on Friday. That obviously isn't good. Their performance on Friday was awful. But Stephen Noe, wrote an article for the Sporting News that I highlighted on Twitter that every Bulls fan should read. And I want to read you a couple passages from it because I thought this was gold. He tweeted it out and he wrote, "I've watched every Bulls game for decades. This is the end of the line for me and for him as a fan." I thought these two, this one sums up me as a fan. And it's what we talked about on Friday, Waddle, about how a lot of us love the team even though we hate the team. He wrote this in a part of the article. "In spite of themselves, the Bulls still lead the league every year in home attendance. Fans love their team even when they hate it. While many of the ones that I speak to have stopped watching religiously, they still follow closely. They can't quit the habit." I think that's absolutely outstanding because it sums up. I was texting with Courtney. I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I both say that Courtney and I were texting each other how much we hate this team. We love our Bulls. We hate this team. We hate them. And this is another passage from Stephen's article. He wrote, "Bulls ownership and upper management want to live their best lives. They like to clock in at 10 a.m., go golfing after lunch, enjoy the fruits of the business they built three decades ago. They take fantastic care of their employees, they rake in the profits, and they have no ambition beyond that." It's so true. And it is what I described as poetry. What he wrote was poetry.
Poetry.
They have no desire to try to win. And I wish they cared about winning as much as this fan base cared about this team. And they simply don't. And here we are again, Bulls fans, just sitting here a year later in the exact same place.
I'm sure we've all gone through this exercise. What is the motivation for not trying as hard as possible to win? Because it costs more money? I mean, I would think the return on your investment would be there several times over. You're already making money. You've got the biggest building in the NBA. You've got the highest attendance rate. I would think that your revenues would go up.
Right. Even if you are profitable now, like you could be profitable and win.
Did I see also in that article, they've only gone into the luxury tax one time in their history?
That was a Bill Simmons tweet.
Oh, that was Simmons?
Like,
okay.
Simmons also roasted them. Like, again, this is a lot of people
are noticing.
Yes. Where is it? He wrote, let me see here. Call this up. He wrote, "The Chicago Bulls are the third biggest market in America. They've only paid the luxury tax once. It's actually hilarious how cheap they are. They just try to go 42-40 every year and win a play-in game and call it a year. The other big market owners must love having them." And then he wrote, printed out their records. Like, it's Bill Simmons in Boston.
Yes.
Like, they don't. He doesn't care, and it starts at the top. And the White Sox are a joke, and the Bulls aren't far behind. They don't care. They don't try to win. And he's laughing at us. Go ahead, guys. What do you have?
Some real basketball up north, boys. How about the performance by the Bucks and Dame Lillard? 35 first-half points led the Bucks to a very nice 69-42 halftime lead, which gave them the 27.
I knew there had to be a draw. They knew there had to be some sort of a...
What?
That you could get the 69 reference.
Oh, yeah, there was that gave them the 27-point cushion they needed to hang on. The Pacers really didn't show up to game one, but Dame Lillard did, at least for the first half, because after his 35 points in the first half, he decided to shut it down, did not score the remainder of the way, but it was enough for the Bucks' game one win over the Pacers. Good
that's
performance.
That's a long way to go to get the reference, and I admire it.
No.
I get a second code. My good is Meller taking the long way to 69 lane.
It was more for Dame's 35 point first half performance, followed up by a goose egg. You don't see that too often.
Sometimes I like that when you take the long way.
Okay.
Well, I will say this:
my bad was actually Dame's second half because his line was 35 and a half for his over-under. He scored 35 in the first half.
No!
And the second
was
half.
Was Michael Porter's brother, was he involved? Woo.
Jonte Porter, look out.
But yeah, that was my bad. Anyway, my good.
How can you lose that bet?
Think about, I mean, you're counting your money at halftime.
And by the way, I bet it got some action, too, because there was no Giannis.
Well, and it's a big name, too. Yeah. It's Dame Lillard.
Oh, he's the best player in the game. He's the biggest name. 35 points. He is 35 in the first half. And you lose.
Bad beat
there.
My good, though, is the home teams in the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs from this weekend because they were a perfect 14-0.
Wow.
Only two of them were underdogs, but still 14-0 for home teams in the playoffs right there out of the gate for the playoffs. I thought that was pretty – I couldn't believe that.
You that was for the NHL and the NBA
NHL
combined?
And NBA, yep. Swept the board.
Okay, what do you got, Waddle? What's your bad?
My bad is quick. I mean, it was the Bulls' performance on Friday night. They lost 112-91. They were never in it.
Never.
I believe at one point, I think the Heat had missed 10 straight shots, or they had missed 10 trips down the floor and didn't score, and they just could never close the gap. They just... You know what? It was the apropos ending to this season.
And we talked about it on Friday that... You know, last year, Zach LaVine scored 39 points in the Toronto game to get them to Miami and scored 15 in the second game. Kobe White followed that pattern. Yes. And Kobe had a great year. He's one of three people nominated for the most improved player. But Kobe's got to be better than that. If that was Zach, we'd rip him. And Kobe's not on Zach's level, and he's not getting paid close to that. I get it, but... Kobe needed to be better than he was in Miami. He's just got to be better.
Yep.
But he is who he is, and that's why you can't overlove a lot of your guys either. My bad is Adbert, and you mentioned it earlier that Council can't run him out there as the closer. You know, and it's why I was so thankful in that one game the Cubs won. I think it was in Seattle when they won the game on the pickoff with the runner on first. Because it seems every game that he's protecting a one-run lead, he gives up a home run.
Yeah.
I think that was a fourth time this year. It's his fourth blown save. And I think he's allowed it was the first game of the year against Texas. It happened. He's had the flair for the dramatic in the bad way this year, where last year he had the flair for the dramatic in the good way. And they have been, even though they're off to a good start, they're four above, but that... You just, after the really good road trip and winning the first game of that series, to lose the next two out of three to the Marlins, that's not the way to go and to blow that first game of the doubleheader. They've got a closer issue. They've got a bullpen issue. And that was my bad to blow another save, their fourth blown save.
I don't think a big market team with high expectations can come into this season thinking Alzolay was just going to blossom into their closer. I think it was a mistake on their behalf.
And then now you're going to have to give up a prospect when, again, I would rather just pay. Go in, like we were just talking about it with Jerry. Go into the luxury tax.
Yes.
Don't give up one of these good prospects. And they're going to have to do
it
again.
It's just money.
What do you guys say?
This is the bad portion, where it is a good time to mention the Chicago White Sox are off to a franchise worst start at 3-18. They have lost 9 of their last 10. They have scored 45 runs in 21 games, barely over 2 runs per game. We're talking about an abysmal offensive start that really has no end in sight when you look up and down at this lineup, and they are abhorrently bad. That's my bad. The White Sox.
It's terrible. It's and anyone who says, if you didn't see this coming, you weren't paying attention. Like, no one ever could have seen a historically bad start coming. Nobody. No one ever. Tyler, what do you got?
My bad was the Dame Lillard.
Oh, that's right.
Second half.
Dirty.
Wow, good. My dirty was a story from Australia. Health officials are warning people not to attempt to catch snakes after they've been bitten by them.
The caution comes after snake bite victims have brought the reptiles with them into the emergency room.
What to say? This is the snake that
doctors
bit me?
Doctors say calling for help, administering first aid, and remaining calm is all patients need to do. Snake bite victims are endangering medical staff by bringing the reptiles with them to the hospital. Not only is it dirty, it's stupid. If you get bit by a snake, don't catch the snake and bring the snake into the emergency room where it could possibly get away from you and bite somebody else.
That's dumbass. Did anybody recommend on what to watch for baby reindeer? Has anyone recommended that?
No, but I saw it last night. I clicked on it, but
It's going to be my what to watch for on Friday, but I just want to say that that's dirty. I've watched the first three episodes, and what I mean by dirty, I don't mean like the type of...
It's the number one show
right now on Netflix. It just makes you feel dirty watching it. It's one of those dramas that it's at times very cringeworthy, and it does its job because it makes you feel... It makes you feel it, if you know what I mean, as far as the drama. It is...
What's it about?
Stalking. That, yeah.
Okay, not good.
And I'm not giving anything away by that. You learn that very, very quickly. And it's true. It's a true story. But it's a drama series. Oh. So it's not a documentary. It's the number one show on Netflix. It makes you feel dirty, and it does its job. And it's really good.
My Dirty Boys, another bad baseball team in Major League Baseball. The Colorado Rockies almost were thwarted by a fan yesterday.
Oh.
It was a 0-0 game, which is rare enough in Coors Field. I think it was only the third time in Coors Field history that it was 0-0 in the bottom of the ninth inning. And a Colorado Rockies player stepped to the plate and launched one, which should have ended the game, but a fan in left field reached out to grab the ball. He reached over the actual fence, did not retain the ball, actually dropped it onto the field. And so what originally looked like it was going to be a double and put the Rockies in position to at least go ahead and win the game ended up being the third out of the inning because the fan was called for interference.
Was it interference? Did he really reach over?
I think he did. He did just enough, and it did prevent the Seattle Mariners left fielder from potentially robbing the player of a home run. But I do think it was enough of a lean over to be fan interference.
It was aggressive, that's for sure. He was really going for that baseball. And then, Tyler, what's your dirty?
My dirty was at the Chevron Championship, which is on the LPGA Tour. Jasmine Koo, so she had an approach shot that was going over water. She had this thing aimed flush into the water. But luckily for her, there was a floating ad board in the water. She banked it ad board, and it overshot the green, but it should have been a water penalty. Instead, she found herself in a tie for 13th in the entire tournament as an amateur. The other dirty component, because she's an amateur, she cannot collect the $112,000 that should be going her way.
We got to, speaking of dirty and playing sports, talk about what Tyler did over the weekend.
Yeah.
And whether or not this is a dirty sport. I did a poll question about this. We'll talk to Tyler, who had a mishap over the weekend, next.
You're in the middle of the Waddle and Sylvie Show, ESPN Chicago.
This portion of Waddle and Sylvie brought to you by Steinhoffels, four Chicagoland locations, including the one that I go to in Vernon Hills, not far from Hallis Hall. Tyler Aki broke a finger playing the Devil's Game, Chicago's favorite softball game, 16-inch softball.
The Devil's Game.
Yeah, I know. Everyone loves it. The reason I call it the Devil's Game is I had to have surgery on the right middle finger after I broke numerous fingers playing 16-inch softball.
Something tells me like that's got to be common with that sport.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. When I was in the waiting room, there were at least two or three other people in there also with various softball injuries, but definitely some finger injuries as well.
Did you stop playing when you had the surgery?
Yes.
That was it?
That was it.
That was the last straw?
That was it. After, like, it was fine that I broke fingers before, but after I had to undergo a surgery and I'd have a pin put in there and then taken out, that was it for me. It was no more. It was glove only, and I always played 12-inch. But the 16-inch game, and the no more. So, Tyler, what happened?
All right, so there was a hit into center field. Guy got ambitious. I'm playing second base, and takes the turn for two. I go to cover the bag, and the throw comes in. It jams up my left ring finger. I make the tag. We get the guy out, and I'm thinking, oh, I jammed this pretty good. And then the pain doesn't go away, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, this might be something a little more serious than just a jam. And it ends up being I go to urgent care after, get the X-ray done, and I find out I've broken my left ring finger. So, and then now I have to go see a specialist tomorrow to make sure I don't need surgery. But I'm with you. So actually, either way, I'm retiring. Like, this is it. I'm done with not just this, but any sort of rec sport. I'm done. I'm done because this is now a threat to my golf season. And that is why I am retiring right now.
So what is the essence of why? I know this is a Chicago thing. Who thought that playing with a bigger ball with the same, it's just as hard as a regular softball, right? Am I right about that?
It doesn't go as far. It's tougher to hit it far.
Is it a little softer?
It's like you could work it in a little bit.
Yeah. But that's part of why I believe they have it is because the parks weren't big enough anymore, so they tried to like dull down the ball, the ball.
Can you turn two?
You can turn two, yeah.
There are guys who could throw that thing around.
That's my point. So when the relay throw is coming from second to you and you got to catch it with two hands and it's coming 100 miles an hour,
yeah,
that doesn't feel good, does it, when you catch it?
Unless you catch it correctly.
Yeah, if you catch it in the palm, it's fine. But you just can't. You can't let a.
So you have to be professional not to get hurt,
or lucky.
It's really tough.
It sounds like not a good decision.
Yeah, like there was a whole history. Like if you Google it, I once remembered why Chicago became the capital of 16-inch. Because if you go out of this area, no one plays this except for us.
I believe there's a 16-inch softball Hall of Fame in Chicago.
Why do you think that is?
No one does. People go, wait a minute, you guys play with a bigger ball with no gloves?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before. This is there may be a town or two that does, but really, in the grand scheme of things, we're the only town that plays this way.
Doesn't sound like it's a great decision to get involved.
It's related to deep dish pizza, right?
Of course. It
goes way back.
We have bigger pizza and bigger softballs.
I got an idea. How about we just throw a glove on our glove hand and we just play regular softball?
We do that, too.
What do you think?
We do that, too.
There'll be fewer injuries.
That's what I did from then on out. I played for years 16-inch, and I loved it. But too many injuries.
Sylvie's never been able to give the middle finger again since that date.
Or like when I'm holding up the
no golf for you for a while.
I'm praying I don't need surgery. If I need surgery, my summer is ruined.
Even Shea didn't get hurt out there.
All right, we got Sox baseball coming up next. Thanks to Robert Mays. Great work by Tyler and Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.